enjoyed that last song. Almost makes me cry. I had a professor in college, down at California Baptist College. Every time he came into class, he would quote Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is made, bless his holy name. And that song reminded me. Thank you for singing it. I appreciate that. They're going to sing another song that has great memories for me. I give them a bad time at the end. It is, just so you know, when you sing it, I'm going to tell them so you hear me too. It is not, are you washed in the blood? It is, are you washed in the blood? All right? If you are oaky like my family and you're from the South, it was washed. It wasn't washed. My grandma sung that song deep from her heart. So we're going to enjoy that song later. I really appreciate that. This morning, I've been sharing, and we began this series last week. I just finished the 10 sermon series on marriage. I got two on I Love My Church. Because I really love the church. And I shared with you about the church and that Jesus died for the church. And I think sometimes we don't treat the church like God really deserves to have his church treated. He died for the church. You know, if it's convenient, if we have time. And so last week I kind of talked about church. But if you come to church and if you've been at church any time or maybe you've come in the past, you know, it's hard to come to church. You know, it's a day to rest. I don't know about you. My next sermon series called Breathing Room. I need rest. I woke up this morning and go, why am I so tired? You know, and some, well, that's my day of rest. And we have all sorts of things. And then maybe you've been in church and maybe you've got hurt. One of my pastor friends, I don't know him personally. I've been in his church, Andy Stanley. Right now his church did a 10-sermon series called I've Been Hurt in My Church and How the Church Has Hurt Me. And they've had different people getting up and sharing. It's hard to be part of a church because you do get hurt. If you've been in church long enough, I've been here 30 years, and if you've been in any church long enough, you know things get said, stuff happens. It's just part of being a church family, but it's part of being a family. I think it's interesting when you read the Bible and you talk about dysfunctional family, and I shared with you last week. It's real interesting. You read from the very beginning. You got Adam and Eve. They have two boys. I mean, it's just, I mean, how much trouble can you have? You got two kids. I mean, come on, you just got two. Now, some of you are going, I got two and I have trouble, all right? Well, if you got a Cain who raised Cain and killed his brother, I mean, that is pretty much trouble. I think that's a dysfunctional family. But then you go on and you get to two people called, Isaac and Rebecca. And they have two kids. You know, and they only have two kids. And then Rebecca teams up with the second born of the twins and is lying and cheating to her husband. I think that's a little dysfunctional. You know, then you go to Jacob, you know, he already lied to his dad and worked with his mom. And then he has, I don't understand this guy. I said it last week and I still, as I read the word, I don't understand the guy. How can you have four wives? I can't get that. One is plenty, at least for me. And my wife says amen, you know. Yeah, but he has these, and he's got all these kids, 13 kids, 12 sons, and they wanted to kill one of the brothers. It's always been, and the church has always been, it's a family, and it's dysfunctional. You know, you read most of the New Testament, almost every letter in the New Testament is written dealing with a problem in the church. You know, you can read Corinthians, and there, we had the Lord's Supper, and they weren't waiting for each other to have the Lord's Supper. They're all pigging out, and somebody was getting left out. You know, if you go to church long enough, you're going to run into trouble. I mean, it's just there. The church, it's tough. Relationships are tough. How many of us have a Old World Herald in our family? I mean, you know, you get together at a family get-together, and you know, well, what's Harold going to do this time? You know, Old World Herald. Because you know that he's just going to do something. It's hard. And I'm sure it's hard being a church. Because I'm going to tell you, I can be obnoxious sometimes. And don't nod your head, please. Some of you are going, yeah, we know. You know, I can be stubborn. You know, I can be, well, I know I've already been told they didn't like me. Somebody has, you know, I've been told that, you know, I've been through, it's hard. How do we deal with this, you know? And I gave you a scripture. If you get a little outline, I mean, could you get your little outline out of your worship folder? Look at what it says here, the very first scripture. Therefore, as God's chosen people, he's saying, therefore, as Christians, as a body of believers, as a church, therefore as a church, holy and dearly loved, as a group of Christians who are different, you chose a different standard of life. You're wanting to be somebody different. God loves you. And then he goes on, clothe yourself, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He's saying, listen, if you're going to be my people, here's some qualities you are going to have. If you're going to gather with my brothers and sisters in Christ, here's some qualities you need to have. You're going to have compassion for one another. You're going to have kindness for one another, humility, gentleness, and patience. But then I circled this next word. Why don't you circle this word, bear? Bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. We don't need to talk about forgiveness. You know what that is. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I circled that word bear because that's what it means. Put up with. I got news for you. I've been here 30 years. You guys celebrated, and thank you for the gift after 30 years of being here. You guys have put up with me for 30 years. Guess what? I ain't going anywhere. You're going to have to put up with me for a lot longer. I told you my desire is to die right here. I'm going to have a heart attack. That's my desire. I want to die sharing the word of God. That's my desire. You know, that's where I want to be. You know, and I told you, I want my ashes scattered here in the front of this church. I've put 30 years here. I love Salida. This is my town. I love this town because I love my neighbors and my friends. You know, and I got to bear with it. So I gave you a definition. I want you to look at this. Be patient with me. Put up with me. Endure me, bear with me, forbear me, suffer me. Here's the thing, you're going to have to suffer me being obnoxious sometimes. You're going to have to suffer with me and dislike me. You're going to have to endure with conflict. You're going to have to accept the differences. It's part of what we do. We got to love one another. That's what this is all about. See, if I love my church, that means I got to love you. And I share with you, I love Salida. I look across the street and I'm going to share this as I go through the message this morning. I love what's going on across the street. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I tell you what, there's people across the street that need to know Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Him. And what an opportunity that is. They've got there. Now I've got to figure a way to get in there. You know, because I love this. And this week, I was sharing with somebody this week. Love is not really a problem for me because I really try not to have any animosity towards anybody. I really want to be able to stand here and say to you, I love everybody. I'm serious. I cannot think of a person I do not love. That was going through my mind on Tuesday, all right? You need to know because I really do. I don't want to have anything against anybody. I mean, I've had some people force me out of one of my first church up in Willits, California. You know, that guy wanted to pastor the church. You know, I visited his father-in-law and prayed in his house every other day with his father-in-law dying of cancer, sitting there with his wife. And behind my back, that guy was talking and doing things. I would still do that. Yeah. I don't care. But I sat there and I was meditating and it just kind of going across my mind. I went to a meeting on Tuesday morning. And it was really funny. I'm going to this meeting and the meeting's going on. It was a great meeting. And after the meeting, I'm kind of visiting with some and there's a gentleman sitting kind of where that speaker is and he yells across the floor, you need to get your blah, 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 blah. And he said some things. Things that he had no business saying in public. You know, things about, well, some stuff we left over at the school. I'm not going to use the word he used that I needed to get out of the school. And I'm sitting there going, I got some words for you. Yeah. But my mind clicked and says, you were just thinking you love everybody. Do you love him? I said, thanks, God. Yeah. Thanks, God. You know, yeah, I do pretty good, you know. And then all of a sudden, I'm slapped in the face. Yeah. And then I went over to take care of the business I needed to take care of. I should have did it. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, I should have did it already, you know, truthfully. And I'm over there walking around, and guess who I happen to run into again? And he just makes some snide comments again. And my mind just goes, thank you, Jesus, for loving that guy. Help me. Yeah. How do we deal with this? And so I kind of laid out some things last week. I just want to hit these over just real quick again, because if we're going to be a church, this is some stuff we need to pay attention to. Look at what it says here. We are committed to building each other up. If I'm not going to say anything nice, I'm not going to say it. All right? I want this church to be recognized that we're building one another up. Second thing, we are committed to recognizing the value of every person. Everybody has value. We're different. We're unique. Yeah. I look back over history, and like I said, my parents are from Oklahoma. They came out back in the 40s and the 50s, came out to California. Anybody ever watch the movie The Grapes of Wrath? Anybody ever watch that movie? You want to see a great movie, a kind of historical rendition of a movie? You know, when they came out to California, they were not liked. You know, they had to cross the border, and it was really a challenge. But everybody has value. I'm not trying to say even Okies do, but yes, everybody has values. My family was Okie, you know, and I love going to Oklahoma, and I just got to see a great aunt from there. But everybody has value. We are committed to keeping our focus on what's really important. It's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to think certain things are important. That's not. I'm going to tell you the important thing to me. I remember back in 1990 as a church, we sat down with a group of people in the church, and it was time to make some changes in this church. And I sat down with a group of people, and I said, okay, what is the things that we will not change about this church? And we sat in the room, and I asked these people. I was the youngest one there. I think the next one was probably 60 years old. And we're sitting around a table, and I ask them, what is it that we will not change as a church? If we're going to make a difference in Salida, what is it we will not change? They had one thing, that the Word of God is a Word of God, and we will not compromise God's Word. We'll change anything. And if you look at this church, the music you sang here was not the music we were singing then. You look at the building that was here that had heart and meaning to them, a building that they had funerals and marriages and their kids grew up in that had meaning, they let us tear it down. They knew what was important. What was important is the message of Jesus Christ. What's important is this, that Jesus died on the cross. Whosoever calls upon his name shall be saved. They never lost sight of that, and that was the only thing that they listed. We sat there for 3 or 4 weeks going over this, and the only thing they would not change is that the Word of God is God's Word, and we must not compromise God's Word. And I appreciated the church that had that heart and people who were wise enough to say that. They kept what was important. They focused on what was important. It wasn't all these other things, traditions and our likes and preferences. We are committed to limiting our liberty out of love for each other. You know, I'm free to do certain things, but I'm going to limit my liberty because I want to love others, because I want to respect others. Even though I got the right to do that, even though I should, and it's my right, I'm not going to do it because I care and I love others. Another one, we are committed to not forcing our opinion on others. Now, that one I struggle with, all right? Because I'm right 99.9% of the time. And my opinion is the one that counts. I'm the pastor. You guys are quiet when I said that one. You should have said amen. You know? Because it's my opinion. Anybody else feel like, anybody else? My opinion is the right one. Everybody else is wrong. You ever wonder, you look at somebody else's opinion and go, what in the world are they thinking? You know? We need to check our opinions. And sometimes, honestly, my opinion is not right. Don't ask my wife, but sometimes they're not. It's just the truth. And the last one I put down here is we are committed to living by faith. It's about faith. It's not about all these other things. I'm going to serve the loving God who died for me and for you and for everyone in Salida. And he loves him, and he wants them to have a relationship with him. See, I'm going to build my life on that faith. That's it. See, that's the kind of church I want. I'm excited because we got our building finally. We're about, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks in the building now. We haven't been here very long. And it's exciting, and it's fun to be a part. And it's fun to see what God is doing and just to enjoy. It's like last night, Saturday night. It's like we're so long setting up. It's like, what do? We walked down here and watered the trees, cleaned out my office. I didn't know what else to do on Saturday night. I'm used to setting up church and worshiping with the worship team. Yeah. It's just fun being a part. I love my church. But I want to tell you something else. I love Salida. See, I don't want to just be church-focused. This is where I want to go this morning. It's not just about this church. See, I think a problem in the church today, I was reading a book, and it says the key problem of the church is we've become like this country club. We look at church for the perks and the privileges. because I get this. It's church, and it's our privilege, and it's a blessing, and it's my church. And I want to kind of draw our attention back that it's really not about the church. It's about our community. See, it's about Salida. This morning, and I knew, I didn't know what was going on. I had forgot so long. We've been meeting on the backside of Salida. I had forgot so long about the celebration they have here. And I got a visit with one of the pastors here in town, and the other pastor I talked to earlier, they're having church at somebody's house because they didn't want to have to deal with, anybody have trouble getting here this morning, trying to get around all the, if you didn't have trouble getting here, you're going to have trouble getting out because the road's blocked. I'll just warn you now. I'll tell you how to get out of here later. You'll have to stay till I tell you, okay? You know? But you know what I'm thinking? I'm going, that's a mission field. Those people need Jesus Christ. Yeah, are they in my way? They took all my front parking spots. Yeah. Now, somebody told me they've been parking in the back. I'm glad you guys got here when you did. Otherwise, you might not have got a parking place. You know, maybe you already had a hard time getting a parking place. They're parking everywhere. Yeah. Is that a problem or is that an opportunity? You know, I'm sitting there wondering as I was praying around this morning and walking around the church this morning, my mind's going, what can I do to reach over there? What can I do to take the message of Jesus Christ over there? I don't know what they're talking about. I kind of know what it is, but I don't know what they're talking about. But I got the message of a God that loves and died on a cross and that wants to be a part of their lives. I got good news for them. How can I share that with them? How can I communicate that with them? And I'm sitting there just going, I don't know what I can do. But then I'm going, you know what? I don't know, maybe next year, just be a warning for you. Maybe next year, we might not be having church. We might be doing something to serve those people. I don't know. I don't know what they need. I'm going, well, you know what? I could create something, or you know, maybe I could just ask them. Duh. Took me a little time to get to that one. You know? Are they in the way or are they an opportunity? See, I think as a church, you know, anybody here got an obnoxious neighbor? Anybody here got a difficult coworker? Yeah. Anybody got some of the, you know, let me ask you, does Jesus love them? Do they need the message of God? Yeah. Do we see them as an opportunity to serve? Look at the scripture. That's what Jesus was all about. Look at what it says. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve and give his life. See, last week I wanted our message focused on us so that we can get ready, that the world will know we are God's children by our love for one another. That's what the Bible says. And then this week, I want us to kind of say, how are we going to serve? What are we going to do to reach into our community? A question that boils in my mind that I've read a long time ago and I think about frequently is, would anybody know First Baptist Center Point, First Baptist Church disappeared? Would anybody know we were here? Would they even care? See, I want to challenge us to serve. I want to challenge us. You know what's amazing? You read the Gospels. And guess who Jesus hung around with the most? It wasn't religious leaders. He had his disciples with him. But they were hanging around with a bunch of sinners and was accused of partying with the sinners. Matter of fact, he was called the friend of sinners. Do we have a heart for that obnoxious neighbor, that difficult coworker, that brother or sister who's a pain? Anybody got a brother or sister who's a pain besides me? Yeah. Do they need Jesus Christ? Do we see them as Jesus sees them? See, I want this church to have an outward focus. That our focus is, the only thing that matters is this word of God. And that we take that word to those that are around us and to those who are outside. It's interesting as you read the word, Jesus, you ever wonder, why did all the people come to Jesus? He drew crowds because there was something about him that said, I love you. I care about you. There's a great story that I want us to look at this morning, and we're just going to kind of wrap up with this story. And I just want to kind of walk through this story, and then I'm going to raise some questions that this story raised in my mind. I want to share them with you. But here's a story of Jesus that he had drew a crowd. Look at what it says. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. I want you to know, where's Jesus' home? In Capernaum. Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. Where were they from? Nazareth. What's he doing in Capernaum? I'll give you a hint. You're not welcome in your own town sometimes. Nazareth wasn't receiving Jesus. They weren't receiving his message. They weren't listening to the message. And so Jesus had to move. Jesus had to leave Nazareth and come to Capernaum. So he's living in Capernaum. That's his new home base. He is stationed in Capernaum now to share the message. I remember when I became a Christian, I went to a church called Signal Heights in Sacramento. My grandparents went there. My cousins went there. That's how I got involved in church. I went off to college, graduated California Baptist College, went over to Golden Gate Seminary, graduated Golden Gate Seminary. But while I was at Golden Gate Seminary, I was commuting back, and my pastor wanted me to come on and help him on staff at the church. But you know what? They wouldn't receive me. Now, the church took a vote, and the majority of votes said yes. But the pastor was wise enough to know that even though the majority said yes, that it's not the best place to put Gary, who's just starting in the ministry, into that turmoil. You know what the problem was? Some of those people knew Gary before Gary became a Christian. Yeah. They remember Gary when Gary ran around and wasn't... Now, you need to know I wasn't that bad, all right? I was a really, really good aggravator. All right, that's what I love to do. But I couldn't work at that church. They wouldn't, you know, because there were some people in the church that remembered. See, that's what's going on with Jesus here. Jesus couldn't go there because they remembered. They weren't listening to his message. And many gathered together, let me open mine up here, so that there was no room, not even a door, at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. He drew the crowd. Jesus drew the crowd. The people came. See, I believe this. I believe if we image love, you would have to build walls to keep people out. I really believe that. If people come to church and feel loved and cared for and supported and encouraged, you could not keep them out because this is the place. You're not going to get that in the world. Where do you get that in the world? Where do you get love, encouragement, support? Man, you got a good work. You got a good job that does that for you? Yeah. School? And where do you get that? See, the church needs to be that. And I think if the church demonstrates that, it's just like here, the crowd's going to come. They're going to come in and see this. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Here's these guys carrying him, carrying some guy on a pallet. And they could not get near him because the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let him down in the bed in which the paralytic lay. I got a picture. I want to make sure you get a picture here. These guys are coming to Jesus. There's four of them, at least four. Right? If you read the commentaries, I don't know how many. There's at least four carrying him. There might have been more. But I think what's important is to understand it's this next little phrase. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, when he saw their faith. They're talking about the guys that let the man down. You know, these guys that let the man down had faith. They didn't say, oh, we're sorry for you. Let us help you. It wasn't out of the kindness of their heart. It was a faith in them that says, you know what? I believe God can do something for this friend of ours. I believe God has something for this friend of ours. I believe God can minister to this friend of ours. Let's take him to Jesus. It wasn't just, well, we're just good friends. Ah, he's a guy that has a need. They had a compassion and a hurt, and they cared about this man. But it was their faith that drove them to this man, because they not only got there, they had to tear the roof off the place. You know, I could imagine. Can't get there. We'll come back tomorrow. Yeah. No. They had faith that drove them to say, listen, let's go up on this roof here, get a picture of this house with, you know, kind of a center courtyard and all this roof, you know, plaster and lath roof kind of stuff. And they get up there and tear it off. I can just imagine what's going on, you know, getting their hands all dirty. You mean I got to get my hands dirty for my friend? You mean I got to go the extra mile for my friend? I mean, I got him there, that, and the rest is his problem, you know. We'll lay you here. Maybe they'll pass you through the crowd. No, they reached out and they went above and beyond. It's like, let's go on the roof. Let's tear up this roof. You know, I wonder if they had a building permit. Anybody want to get a building permit? Yeah. You got to tear the roof off. Yeah. And I can just imagine, you know, I wonder what the landowner's going to say. You know, who's going to fix it? Yeah. I could just see all this stuff going on. But these guys, it didn't matter. They had faith. It wasn't just love, and it wasn't just a benevolence. It wasn't just our friend. It was faith. I'm going to ask you, do you have faith for some of your friends? You know, do you have neighbors who need Jesus? Do you have a coworker? Do you have a relative who needs it? Do you have faith for them? You know, I look at it. Will you go the extra mile? Well, I got to go drive. I got to drive all the way to Ripon to pick them up and bring them here. Whoopee. I got to wait out in the sun until they get here. I'm going to wait out in the parking lot until they get here. It's hot. It's going to be 100 next weekend. I don't know if it is or not. Yeah. And I got to wait outside until they get here and walk in with them. That's inconvenient. I got to get up extra early to go get them. I don't know. I mean, I got to walk over and knock at my neighbor's door? Yes. I'll give you an answer to that one. Do you have faith for those around you? Let me ask you another question. How many times did you have to ask somebody before you came to church? How many times did somebody have to ask you before you came? Think about that. We'll ask somebody one time and it's like, well, they're not going to come. You know what? My cousins and my aunt and uncle, they had to come to my house several times before I started going to church. That's the truth. They came and said, hey, we're having a car wash. You want to come have a car wash with you? Wash cars? I don't know. Yeah. The next Monday night, guess who was at my door? The youth group, my cousins, some others, and my aunt. Hey, why don't you come to church? Why don't you come to the car wash? They visited numerous times. And then once I started coming, guess what? They still had to come. It's like, do they really want me? You know, do they really want me to be there? And they kept coming and visiting, and then I got to be one of those. And I can remember, as a youth group, we'd get in. I had a Mustang. Anybody have the 64 Mustang convertible? Oh, wasn't that fun? And I can remember, we'd pile 9 people in a Mustang. All right? We'd have them all lined up on the seat, and then they would sit across the back seat, and some would sit this way, and some would sit this way. And I'm glad we didn't have to have, that was in seat belts. They didn't have seat belts in the car back then. I'm not that old. I shouldn't say that. But you know what? We were going out visiting. Do we care? These guys took the extra mile. They went and got it. And Jesus saw their faith. And he said, can Jesus see your faith and make a difference in some of your friends, neighbors, relatives' lives? Son, your sins are forgiven. He forgave their sins. Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is a blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know, I read that. I'm going to tell you something. When you do something for God, somebody's going to criticize you. All right? Oh, you're a Bible thumper. Or you're one of those religious people. You do something for God, I guarantee you somebody's going to say, oh, you're intolerant. You're going to hear those words. There's always going to be, I'm going to tell you, there's always critics out there. Always. Get over it. Because there's always going to be people who pick on us. If you're a Christian, what's interesting, now this is just something to think about. I think the church is getting a little more persecuted today in America. I don't know, maybe it's just my perception. But you want to know something historically? That's when the church has grown, is when it was persecuted. So maybe this could be good. I don't like it, but it might be good. I don't know. But these guys were critical of it, and they were putting it down. But I like this. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves. I could just see, I don't know, maybe it was on their faces, kind of like, you know, Jesus perceived, you know, maybe they looked different. Maybe something was being expressed, something different going on, but Jesus perceived it. Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. You know, just so you get an idea here, see, they believed back then there was a direct connection between your physical condition and your spiritual life. That this guy was paralyzed because he had did some kind of a sin, or his parents did some kind of a sin. They believed there was a direct connection. It's nowhere in the scripture to teach that. It's nowhere that God says that. It's not there, but that's what they believed. But what Jesus did, which I think is amazing, Jesus took a physical problem that they could see, and he did a miracle on this physical problem. This paralyzed man could now walk to demonstrate a spiritual decision that he had power and that God forgives. See, I want you to think about that. See, what this was, it wasn't about the healing of the man physically. It was about the healing of the man spiritually. God forgives. And you want a proof of that? Look, this man walks. He can wash your sins away. I don't care what you did. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how bad you feel about your life. I don't care what that past is. God sits there and says, I will forgive you if you confess. And you want me to prove it to you? Watch this. Get up and walk. And the guy did. See, God forgives. And that's an amazing thing. And Jesus used that. And then he goes on. But you may not know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said, I say to you, pick up your bed and walk. He rose and immediately picked up his bed and he went out before them all so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. God did something. See, and as I read this story, and I see this going on, I see these guys who went the extra mile. These guys who had faith and not just cared about the guy, not just believed in the guy, but had faith enough to pick him up and take him, and not just get there and say, we can't get in, but to get there and say, we've got to get in, and tears the roof off this house and lowers this guy down. And God does something. And when God did something, the people go, we've never seen anything like this. There is a God who loves and forgives and cares and touches lives. Because they served. They served. And that's what I want to challenge us with as a church. You know, the church was really hurt. This recession and this time in the church's life really got hurt. We were running 100 people and God was blessing and God was moving and the recession happened and we lost every leader in the church basically. And then we had to start rebuilding, and it's been a hard time. And so what I did as pastor, I kind of focused on the things that we could really accomplish well. If you can't do everything, let's just do one thing well. And I focused on getting people in the Word of God. And my heart's desire was to get people in the Bible, because I believe the Bible and God's Word changes lives. I believe when you read this book, it impacts you. And you realize that God loves you and God has a better plan for your life and God wants to bless you. And when you read this, that it changes your life. And as a pastor, I said, we need to get people in the Word of God. And we started pushing and advocating home groups and Bible study. And I'm excited to stand here this morning and say almost every night of this week, there's a Bible study in somebody's home and someplace in Salida or around our town for members of our church. I'm excited with that. We focused on that. That's part of who we are, and we need to stay on that. And Stephen's leading, and Stephen's going to do it, and we're going to have a great time. We got our 40-day study coming up, and we're going to have a great time. Why on earth am I here? We're going to do 40 days, and we're going to dwell on that Word of God. But it's not enough. We're back here in our place, and we're growing, and things are happening again, and I think it's time for us as a church to step out. And I want us to start serving our community. I want people to know if this church disappeared tomorrow, that they would know, hey, First Baptist is gone. That we're serving our community. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I'm serious. I don't know what's going to happen. I want to do something to make a difference in those people over there next year. I don't know what we have to do. I don't know what they need. I don't know. But if there's something we can do, I think there's thousands of people over there. I don't know what you guys think, but I look over there. That park's full. I could get mad at them. Man, they're parked in my front parking lot. Where are my guests going to park? Where's our visitors and our friends going to park? Yeah. I can get mad, man. Who's going to want to try to deal with all that traffic out there? Yeah. I could get aggravated. Or I could say, you know what? There's a mission field out there. I don't know what they believe about God. I have some ideas, but my ideas and my opinions don't matter. I already told you that. But the one thing I do know is God loves them. And Jesus died for them. And I've got good news. I need to serve. I need to reach out and reach into their lives and make a difference. And so in order to do that, I just had several questions that this thing posed in my mind. I just want to share these with you. I want you to answer them, all right? My challenge to you is to answer these questions. Can we recognize God at work in the Salida? Can we recognize God at work here in our community? Can we see what God is up to? Are there needs in Salida that we can minister to? We have hurting neighbors, friends. I tell you, one of my heart is to adopt the school. We've done great. We've gathered up quite a bit. We're probably going to be able to help 2 classrooms over here with stuff this year. My goal is to help everybody over there at the school. I want to adopt that school and minister to that school because they're right next door and make a difference there. I know the principal, a really wonderful lady, give us a great opportunity to serve. Can we serve our community? Can we recognize an opportunity to serve God? Can we see where God is working and joining? Do you see that? Do you see opportunities? The second question I put here was this. Can we see God at work liberating his frozen people? I like the way that one says. There's sick people, hurting people, and they're paralyzed by the sickness, and they're hurting. Families are broken, broken relationships. I don't know, but there's a hurting world, trapped by sin, trapped by drugs. You know, I see drugs, not just somebody hooked on drugs, but I think they're a prisoner of those drugs. I've watched people who want to quit, and I've been there and watched people who really want to quit, and they want to fight the battle, but they get sucked in because they're prisoners of that. And they're frozen in that condition. But God can help them. God can use them. God can touch them. Do I see that? Do I see God liberating people, or do I see them as a problem? They're a problem. Are we prepared to take risk for our faith? Those guys that lowered their friend took some risk. I don't think they asked permission to tear the roof off. I mean, the house is full. I don't know how they got it, but they did it anyway. They took some risk. And God did something. Are we willing to take some risk? See, it's a challenge. We like our little comfortable lives. We like our routines. I like routines. But sometimes we've got to take a risk. I look at all the things. I'm going to tell you, there's some people here that I truly admire in this church. And I almost every time I talk about them, I cry because Grandma Lily, who's passed away, Rose, Martha, people who were willing to risk things that mattered to them when this church was here. They had lived in this church for years. Here's this young whippersnapper kid. I was 27 when I came. I'm still young, though. Okay. I was 27 when I came. But over the years, it's like, well, let's tear the church down. Okay, Gary, that's what you want to do. Let's change the music. Okay, Gary. Let's go to the school and have church. Okay, Gary. They were willing to risk. You know, and I look at what they gave. But what about me? What am I willing to risk? You know, what am I willing to set on the altar and to sacrifice? What am I willing to let go of? You know, I have things that matter to me. I have opinions. And mine's the right one, okay? Just understand that. I'm the pastor. My opinion is the right one. Some of you guys are laughing at me. You know? My preferences are the right preferences. It doesn't matter what your preferences are. I like blue. I want our blue church back, all right? I couldn't convince people. This would be a big blue monster if it was. But blue is my favorite color. It was, if some of those who don't remember this, there was a church here that was blue. And it was fun. Yeah. But I have preferences. Yeah. Fortunately, I'll tell you, one of the preferences God didn't give me, which I think is a blessing, is I don't care what music you sing, I just enjoy being here. You're going to sing an old-fashioned song that my grandma would sing. I'm looking forward to that one. Yeah. But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that last one, 1,000. I don't know the rest of the song. Plus, you don't want me to sing it anyway. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I know that part. Psalms 103. Yeah. But we all have preferences. I like this. I like that. I want this. We're going to take some risk. It doesn't matter. I wanted grass around the church. The county said no. Guess who won? The county. They didn't like my opinion either. Yeah. We all have that. We're different. If we were all alike, we'd all have the same kind of car. Everybody would drive a Daewoo. Come on, I drive one. If I could buy a car that I want, I'd buy me a Prius. See? Nice blue Prius. Come on. Yeah. See, we all have preferences. We all have likes. I shared with you. I hate yard work. Go look at my yard. I got weeds this high in my front yard. Somebody needs to come over and weed my yard. No, please don't. I got Roundup. There you go. Yeah, I hate, we all have preferences. We're all different. We got to take risks sometimes. And let those things go. How about this one? This kind of goes along with the risk. How rigid are we in our attitude? My way or the highway? Anybody ever tell their kid that one? Come on, am I the only one? I guess I'm the only one. Oh, I got another mother back there that joined me. All right. Yeah. My way or the highway? I mean, it's my way. I want my way. It's my opinion. It's me, mine. You know. What about our attitude? You know, what kind of attitude? I looked at these guys. Look at the attitude of the scribes. You're messing with our world. We're the religious leaders. We're the ones. And here you are saying this. And who do you think you are to forgive sins? You're messing everything all up. You turned everything upside down. And their attitude got them in trouble. I'm going to tell you, I was visiting yesterday with someone. And my heart is this. I worry, what would Jesus do with the church today? Would he have the same feeling towards the church as he had toward the Pharisees? I worry about that. You need to know that. As a pastor, I worry, would Jesus, if he walked into the church, treat us like he treated the Pharisees? Because we are acting like they are. I worry about that as a pastor. Someday I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to have to answer for everything I've done as your pastor. And I'm going to do the best I can. But it's my attitude. I can be stubborn. Some of you have seen me. You back me against the wall. Put my feet in concrete and I ain't moving. That doesn't happen too often. Because I have an attitude. What about our attitude? What kind of attitude do we have? I look at these guys and are we like the Pharisees? Or are we like the other guys? I'm going to do what's necessary. What do we got to do? We got to get him in there. Oh, we can't come back tomorrow. He's here today. Let's tear the roof off. Let's work together. We got to work together. Well, you didn't dig as much as I did. You didn't work as hard as I did. Man, look at my fingernails. I broke them off. Look, I broke that one off digging a ditch out here just this week. They broke our sprinklers and stole them. Can you believe that? 3 sprinklers were broken on Monday, and they stole 2 of them. They walked off with them. I don't know whether they put them in their pocket or not. They're gone. My attitude, God, bolt of lightning. No, don't do that. Pray for them. What's our attitude like? How about this? How suspicious are you of, man, I really messed this one up. Innovation, you can take the blank out and it'll fit right in. Cut and paste, man, can sometimes be a pain. Change. Change for change's sake. I believe you got to change. I believe things are going to change. I'm going to tell you something. Things will be different next year than they are this year. Guaranteed. I don't know what's going to be different, but change is a reality. I mean, I remember, now I'm not old, I remember McDonald's with the golden arches and the stainless steel counter out there that you'd walk up to with the red and white tile on the front. Anybody? All right, I got some back there willing to admit it. Okay. Yeah. We go to McDonald's now. Why do my grandkids want to go to McDonald's? Anybody? The food's okay, but they want to go and play. They want to go play. Almost all those things put play things in. Everything changes. Wait a little while. I'm going to tell you, they're messing Broadway and Palindale. It's going to change. Things are going to change. You know what? Here's my rule. That's why I'm on a school board. That's why I get involved in all this stuff. Things are going to change. I'm going to get in and change it my way. But then I'm only one of five guys on the school board, so that doesn't mean much. You know, change is going to happen. Center Point First Baptist Church. That's who we are. Center Point First Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what you call this place. I love my church. You can call it the Upside Down Church in Salida. Personally, my favorite name, the Blue Church. I like that. Now, when we painted it blue, those who weren't here then, it was absolutely an accident, all right? They had a colorblind pastor pick out the paint, all right? And it ended up being blue. And I mean not a light blue like it was supposed to be, but a blue. And it was a fun blue church. Sometimes I think how much easier it would be if I didn't change all the music and we didn't change and tear down a building. Would it just been easier just coming into a little building that seated about 90 people and just kind of cruising through my ministry and retiring someday? Would it be easier? Sometimes, honestly, yeah. But would I be happy? No. Yeah. Innovate. And then the last one here. Are you ready to acclaim Him? Jesus is God. Can you say it? Jesus is God. See, are we ready to say that? The reason I put these questions here, and many of you are here for one particular reason. Some are here as our guests for the first time, but today was a day that last week we had the Lord's Supper for the first time in our facility. And today I wanted to set Dan aside as an associate pastor in our church and as a minister for the gospel. Dan has come alongside of me and been a part of what God is doing. But I think Dan's answered these questions, just so you know. In my conversations with Dan, I didn't ask him these particular questions, but we've answered these questions in our conversations through the years. And it's about serving Salida. See, Dan has a heart to serve Salida. Dan has went all the way to New Orleans to serve. He's organized several times. We went at the park and we cleaned up the streets here in Salida because he has a heart to serve Salida. Several years ago, I remember when I came, I was 27, 28, and I was playing baseball with the kids out here in Salida. I was about 30 years old, running fly balls. I always liked the outfield. And all of a sudden, I'm running to catch a fly ball, and it falls in front of me. And I'm going, a few years ago, I caught that ball. It's like I used to be able to catch that one. They're falling now. When I turned about 40, I started thinking about church. I went back and got my doctorate, and I started to realize this. You know what? When I turn 60, I can't do what I'm doing at 40, and I knew that. I used to be able to spend all-nighters. Anybody? I used to be able to take all-nighters. You know what? I can't do all-nighters anymore. It just don't happen. I'm not 60 yet. Okay, make sure you understand that. I am not 60 yet. It's a few more years. But I can't do what I used to do. And I was wondering when I was 40, what am I going to do? If we don't get some people in the church to take leadership and to take staff positions and to lead. See, my heart is Bible study. That's my passion. And Stephen and I we've been meeting. We haven't met lately, but we're going to go back to meeting and trying to finish our church. We kind of put some things aside. But Dan is going to be willing to take service over and lead our church in the service ministry. And we're going to turn Salida upside down. Maybe he's the one that's going to go talk to the guy over there and see what we can do. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's about serving Salida. I put it this way at this last scripture right here. Look at what it says. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom. See, we've been set free from sin. We're no longer in bondage to sin. You know, those passions and those, let's see, what kind of stuff gets in our way? Well, money, possessions, passions, personalities, all those things get in our way for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And so I've challenged Dan to be an associate pastor and to lead us into service, to lead us to make a difference in Salida, and not only just in Salida, but into the world. And I've challenged Dan to do that. Dan has come alongside, just so you guys know, kind of give you a little background. I've been meeting with Dan. We started talking a long time ago. He can tell you more of the story at a different time. And through the years, he's become a guy I could call. I was in a meeting in San Diego, and I get a call. One of the gentlemen related in our church was in hospice down in Houston. And it's like they needed a visit. And I'm in San Diego at a meeting. And I'm trying to figure out, what can I do? I really need to minister to this family, to this person. And so I call Dan. Dan, here's what's going on. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Come to find out, Dan is down the street in Ceres from where he was, where that guy was in Houston. I've taken Dan on visits. I've taken Dan to the hospital. I've taken Dan to funerals, meetings with families for funerals. And I've been sharing ministry with Dan. And he's been stepping up. And when he tells you the story about me and everything, when we first knew me, he didn't think I was very much. But now, in his eyes, I walk on water. I'm joking. But Dan has become a personal friend, but also an associate, and he ministers for our church. He's been there for many of you, and you know his heart, you know his life. So this morning, what I wanted to do is I wanted us to acknowledge that in the church. I got a certificate here. It's a little different when I was licensed. When I was licensed, I walked to church one day. At the end of the service, a pastor says, Gary, come forward, and Rick, come forward. We're going to license you to the gospel ministry, and give me a little piece of paper, and that was it. Well, I think it's a bigger deal than that. So I got a little paper here. It says, certificate of license. This is a certified Dan Maselli, who has given evidence that God has called him into the gospel ministry, was licensed to serve the gospel as he may have opportunity, and to exercise his gifts in the work of the ministry by Center Point First Baptist Church on the 11th day of August, 2013. And then I signed it. So I wanted to give this to Dan, but I want us as a church to acknowledge this and to recognize. So I'm going to ask Dan to come and stand here. Some of you knew this was going on. And so Dan's going to stand here, but I want us as a church to affirm this, to be a part of this. And it's not a vote. It's all we're going to vote. You know what? God's already voted on this. That's my opinion. God's already laid his hand on Dan's heart and told Dan what he desired in his life. So I've asked Dan to come and stand. But I want some of you, and I'm going to invite all of you. Let's all stand. Everyone stand. And whoever would like to come, would you come and lay your hands on Dan? Just come and lay your hand. Anybody's welcome. Just come and lay your hand. If you can't reach Dan, put a hand on somebody that has. There's still room up here in the front. You don't have to. And I just want us to pray for Dan. As you're coming, just pray. If you can't reach him, just put a hand. It kind of goes down the line. It's kind of like electricity. God will work through all of you. And just kind of, we're just going to pray. I've mentioned some of you that you might want to pray. And so we're just going to bow our heads for a few moments. I want to pray, and I want you guys to pray. Pray some words of encouragement, some words of strength, and some blessing on Dan as he follows God, as God leads him in the gospel ministry. Let's go ahead and pray.
Father God, I just lift up my brother Dan, Father God. Lord, you know he has a servant's heart, Father God. He serves you wholeheartedly, Father God. And Lord, I just ask that you guide his mind, Father God. Keep him focused on you, Father God, as I've seen this brother guide so many, Father, with people who've been struggling with this and that, Father God. He does have a servant's heart, Father God, Lord. And I just ask that you have your Holy Spirit guide his mind, Father God, to guide people, Father God, in fatherly ways, Father God. We just love you. We praise you, Father God.
step out in faith and they take risks, that we have a battle. And we just want to be there and we're going to be praying for him and also for his family.
Father, I thank you for such a forgiveness, such a loving, kind heart of the unsaved. I just pray that you would just continue to guide him and lift him up as he begins this new journey to speak. Part of his life.
Lord, I thank you for being a loving God who takes us from where we are to where you want us to be. You brought Dan down this path and this journey to this day. It's been a long journey, and there's much more to go. Lay your hand upon him, Lord. Pour out wisdom upon his heart and his mind. Strengthen him spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Guide and direct his paths. Protect him from the evil one. Lord, be blessed in him in a special way. Empower and strengthen him. Encourage him and walk with him. Let you be the center of his heart, the center of his life, that his family may rally around him and one together fight the good fight and finish the course. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go ahead and back to your seats. You know, as I wrap up, I'm going to have Dan in the back at the end of the service. You know, Dan led God to this place. Dan brought God to this place. I want to tell you something. You know, God has a plan for every one of your lives. Every one of you, God has a plan for. None of you are here by accident. You know, this church is not here by accident. This church is here because Grandma Lily and her friends and neighbors in Salida decided they wanted a church here. And you're not here by accident this morning. I don't know why God brought you here this morning, but God brought you here this morning to be a part of this. And I thank you for being here. But God has a plan for your life. And I want to encourage you, where are you at in that plan today? Where are you at in God's plan for you? You know, sometimes we get in God's way. I know I've been in God's way. You know, God said, you want to be a preacher? I go, no. You know, I had ideas. I want to be a cop. I want to be a sharpshooter on a SWAT team and shoot people. That was my goal. My son's in the army, and guess what he wanted to do? He wanted to be an infantryman in the army, all right? Yeah. But God changed me. I hated school. I'm going to tell you, God has a plan for your life. I hope you know that plan. Maybe that plan this morning is, I want to make this as plain as I can. I've seen you, this God forgave that man's sins. Maybe there's something in your life you need to get over. You know, sometimes we make decisions in our life that we regret. Sometimes we do some things in our life that we really, really can't let go of. I want to tell you, whatever's in your life that you need to let go of, God has forgiven you. God has taken it as, I love his scripture, as far as the east is from the west. Maybe there's something in your life that you just need to get over. You need to let go of. You know, I get aggravated with the church, and we talk about abortion, and we talk about homosexuality, and we talk about all these things, and we throw all this guilt out there. But I want to tell you, I don't care what you've been, where you've been, or what's happened in your life, God loves you, and he wants you to cross the line today and walk with him. Because he's a forgiving God. See, and as a Christian, here's what I always try to make this as plain as I can. A Christian isn't somebody, well, you know what? I was raised in a Christian home. That doesn't make you a Christian. Well, I was baptized. I got news for you. That doesn't make you anything but a wet person. All right? Yeah. A Christian is someone, and this is why I say it week in and week out. I've said it for 30 years in this church. I'm going to say it until another 30 years. It's a person who reaches a point in their life where they say something like this. Not exactly. Maybe you said something like this. I did. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. You know, you've given your will over to God. You know, I grew up, give God your heart. And it doesn't matter about your heart. Give God your will. God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it yours. Come into my life and take control. Maybe you need to make that decision. I want to pray with you about that. I'm here this morning to pray with you. You can pray that prayer right now. You can just simply right now, right where you sit, you know, you can be like that paralyzed man and be forgiven right now, just simply saying, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. Come into my life and take control. And he'll forgive you of your sins and he'll come in. Maybe there's some other battles. We always give an invitation at our church, and I'm just going to stand here in just a minute. We're going to sing a song. And I'm here to pray with you. Maybe there's some battles. Maybe there's some burdens. Maybe there's some things in the background you need to let go of and you want somebody to pray with you. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. This is your opportunity. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing a song. And as God leads, you just come. But will you cross that line of salvation today? Will you give your heart to God and let him lead you all the way?